Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Baba Metzia, Samach Dalat. We're holding on Samach Gimel Amud Beis, six lines off the bottom of the Amud. V'amar Rav Nachman. Here comes another halacha in the name of Rav Nachman. Haiman da Oizif. If a fellow borrows Pishiti, coins, Prutois, pennies, Mechavrei, from his friends, he's borrowing, 100 pennies. V'ashkach Bei, and he discovers some extra. He made up to borrow 100, he finds a little extra. Too fine. Question is, was it just an oversight? An error in his, counting? Or was it a bonus, a gift? If it's, within the realm of error, within the margin of error, so to speak, so then you can't assume it was deliberate, and you have to give it back. So you must repay it. But otherwise, if it's clearly, evident that in fact it was done deliberately, then we just say it's a gift. Matana ba'alma hu diyavle. He was trying to give him a gift. There's no need to return it. Now, how do we, determine what's what? Hechidami, b'chdeish adas toya. What do we consider, within the margin of error? What would be an indication that it was done erroneously? Amar v'acha b'ed Rav Yosef b'sir yaisa v'chum shiaisa. If the extra amount can be divided into tens or fives, right, it's not, single numbers, single digits. It's tens or fives. Let's say he was supposed to borrow 50. He ended up with 55. So you assume the fellow was counting them out in fives, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? Every set of five was counted separately. And he, skipped and he repeated one. So you give an extra five. Same thing with tens, stacks of 10. If you have an extra 10 or 20, then, he could have gotten confused between, this stack and that stack, forgotten where he's holding and added another set of 10. That's only when there are sets of fives and tens, which is the way they would count. Even today in the bank, that's how they count, right? And they'll say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? So each set is counted separately, and sometimes you can add an extra set. But if they're, individual numbers, let's say it's 53 instead of 51, then it's unlikely that he would have, gotten mixed up. You don't get mixed up between 51 and 53, right? Why do you count out to 53? You don't forget that you're holding a 51. Why would it go to 53? So again, the Rashash explains, in sets of 5, you can forget that you're holding at the third set, right? Because you're actually counting them out, 1, 2, 3, 5, first set, 1, 2, 3, 5, second set, right? So you can forget yourself, you can get mixed up between the first and the second. I'm thinking still a third set is really the fourth set. But when you're counting out individual numbers, right? 1, 2, 3, you don't suddenly jump to 7, right? So basically, if you got an extra set of 5 or 10, then that's called b'chdei shadas toya. You have to attribute it to error, and you have to return it. But otherwise, you can keep it. We assume it's just a gift, it's a matana. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei d'Rav l'Ravashi. He had a kash on this. I mean, you think, every personality is generous in giving gifts? Let's say you have a real tough fellow. V'inash tekifahu. A tough guy. The lo yoiv matan. He doesn't give gifts. Rashi says, the fellow that lent him these pennies is Adam Kashahu. He's a rigid fellow. Sheinei roga ligmoil chasodim. V'loseis matnas chinam. Acts of kindness. Just random gifts. That's not, it's not his thing. Mine. So what would you say in that case? Amalei, so he says like this. Even there, we can attribute it to something else and consider it, we consider it his. Consider it the recipient's. Why? Omli Dilma Migzel Gazli. Perhaps this fellow who lent him the money had, you know, in the past, it was some sort of incident where he unjustifiably took some money from this borrower. So now he owes him that money, whether he stole outright or it was some sort of dishonesty in business. He'd like to turn around and repent and do teshuva and undo that. And therefore, you know, he was embarrassed to actually confront him outright and, admit his wrongdoing. So he just sort of found the opportunity to include it in the amount. Avla lebecheshme, just include it into the cheshme. But it was meant to be. The sanya, as we find in a brisa, that your yaitze, you can fulfill your obligations by, you know, sort of slipping it by him without, discussion. The sanya, hagoizel chaver, right? If Reuven steals from Shimon, and then he turns around and he sort of slips it by him, slips it into him, and somehow he gets it through him within, you know, a larger amount, so he slips it back to him, yatsa, he's yaitze, his mitzvah of Hashavas Gezel. Asks the Gemara, okay, but let's say, this fellow, you know, who's lending the money, is the first time he had anything to do with him. Unlikely that he stole from this person. Let's say there's just a random person coming from the world at large, you've never really had any interaction with this borrower. My, how can you attribute it to Hashavas Gezel? You never met him before. Amrali says, well, even there, it's possible that this was purposeful. Dilma inish achrina gazli. Maybe somebody else stole from this borrower, and he approaches this lender. Varmali tells this lender, you know, you're a good friend of mine. You know, do me a favor. I can't confront my victim. I want you to please try to. I know you lend it. You deal with him. You lend him money. Next time you lend him money, give him some extra on my behalf. Varmali ki yosef ploini pshiti menachem. And Shimon will now borrow. Sometime down the road, you'll be lending Shimon money. Avla b'cheshbon, please slip it into him. So we attribute it to that, and therefore there's no need to repay it. So bottom line, you get extra money in your loan if it's something that can be attributed to a purposeful giving, whether it's a gift or a returning of gezela, you can keep it. Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, "Haviyosivna b'shilhi pirki derav." I once was present at the end of Rav's lecture, Vishamis, and I hear him saying a certain word many times. The Ka'amar, he was saying, repeating the word curry, curry, pumpkins, pumpkins. Well, down in my Ka'amar, I'm not sure what he was referring to. What halacha was he teaching? Basra to come Rav. So after Rav got up and left, Amri Luhus, I asked, the Talmidim, my curry, curry, the Ka'amar, Rav, what was Rav speaking about with these pumpkins? Amri, they told me, Yachal Ka'amar, Rav said like this. It was a ribbis-related discussion. A person approaches a gino, a vegetable gardener, who's raising pumpkins, and he offers him coins, right, to purchase his crop of pumpkins. So he's yoiv zuzi, he handed some coins, ligino, akari, to purchase the pumpkins. And he's paying for it today, but he's taking delivery only later. Because, and how much was the going rate? Asara, akari, 10 of these pumpkins were being sold for Izuz, and how large pumpkins were they? B'nei Zarta, this half of Amma in size. So sort of medium-sized pumpkins, 10 per dollar. V'armalei, and the gardener, offers him a steal of the deal. Yibdalach b'nei Garmidi. You know what? Pay me now, and eventually I will deliver to you super-sized pumpkins, an Amma each. Are you allowed to do that or not? Because he's getting more than market value. He's getting more than his money, and his money's worth. So he's paying for it now, but he's going to get much more later on. Is that a ribbis issue? It depends. Isnu, if the farmer actually has those large-sized pumpkins on hand, so although he's not delivering it now, but sure, that's okay, because it's like he's selling. He's just dropping the price. Look, I'm giving a discount. He's allowed to do that. That's not ribbis. Ribbis means I'm charging a fee for holding onto your money, for you holding onto my money. But if I do a deal, and I give you a discount, an instant discount, buy this for cheap. That's not ribbis. But less than who usher. Well, let's say he doesn't really have it in stock. All he has is the mini pumpkins that are gonna grow and prosper. and get to the Amo size, but right now they're not that size. So here it's Asur. You can't do this deal because the farmer is actually offering the customer more than he deserves. Right? Because of the fact that he's doing this advance payment, which amounts to basically paying a fee for usage of that money. Well, says Digmar, obviously, I mean, it's a pretty much outright ribbis, pshita. What's the chiddush here? Why would I think it's permissible? Perhaps I would think like this. What's growing? Those pumpkins that you have purchased today are sort of growing. It's perhaps considered your item that has improved. Rather than look at it like I'm giving you more than you paid for, your item has grown and prospered and developed. Maldotema, perhaps I would say, kiva de memelo karabu, since they're growing on their own. It's not like I'm giving you more. I'm allowing your pumpkins to stick in my, stick around in my yard, and they grow, and the Hashem give, shaper dam. Perhaps that's okay. Kamash mon dechidush is no. This is a ribbis issue. Says the mar kiman ki haitana. So apparently this halacha follows a certain tana who likewise taught us a similar idea. Buying in advance at the current rate. There's only mutter if you're getting something immediately, but you can't expect to get, further down the road to get more than you paid for. That's ribbis. The sanya ha'ilach lechleves izav. You have a fellow en route to milking of his goats. V'ligzois es rechelev, or shearing of his sheep. V'lurdeis es kavarte. He's about to go harvest his honeycombs. He meets a friend on the road and he says, look, I want to make a deal with you. I want to purchase your crop. Right? He says like this, okay, you give me X amount of money, $100, and whatever I milk today is yours. Or whatever we share off the sheep today is yours. All the honeycombs of today are yours. So basically, he's taking a risk. Could be he'll get more than his money's worth, could be less. That's okay, that's mutter. He's taking a gamble. He's purchasing the rights, for today's harvest. That's fine. Avalam Amarlev, but let's say he tells him as follows. You know what? Let's make a deal. You pay $100, and I will promise to give you X amount of milk. And I'm giving it to you at a lower rate than market rate. Because you pay me in advance. I'm appreciative of that. I'm giving you a better rate. And I'm actually establishing, I'm determining the exact amount, the volume of what you're buying. So there's no risk involved. That's usur. Because he's giving him more than he deserves because of this advance payment. That's a fee for sort of borrowing the money ahead of time. Right? But if he tells him, that's the punchline. The difference here is that he said, X amount of gallons. Marcholacha being sold to you now at less than market value. For a discount. Because you're paying me in advance. Same thing with the sheep and the shearings, the wool. So much wool. Marcholach. That's awesome. Now, va'afagav de memel karabu, and the chiddush here is, even though it's just growing on its own, it's a self-developed, it's a naturally developing thing, right? Right. Suppose he promised him 100 gallons of milk, and today's harvest was only 75 gallons. Right. Those extra 25 develop on their own, develop naturally. It's not my doing. Hashem, right? So it's still not okay. I cannot commit that extra amount to you. Kivan the listener b'hayishata. Also, since that extra amount was not here right now, I couldn't conceivably sell it to you right now. It wasn't part of the actual deal right now. It was sort of a commitment for the future. And I'm basically giving you more than you deserve because you're advancing your payment. That's ribbis. Likewise, in the case of the pumpkins. Although it's developing naturally, it's going from small to big to humongous. Not due to my efforts, just it's a natural occurrence, nevertheless, I can't be committing that to you. Because ultimately, you're getting more than you deserve. Ikadami, there's another version, which actually allows it. Amar Rav, Akima de Mela Karabu Shapri Dami. That when it comes to the pumpkins, Rava disagrees. Rava says it's okay. I can take advance payment and promise you supersized pumpkins at less than market value. And the reason is because those pumpkins are growing on their own. So basically, it's like I'm selling you mini ones which develop into big ones. It's yours that developed into big ones. I'm not giving you extra material. Those are your pumpkins that I've sold you today that have now turned big. Shapri Dami, it's okay. So why is it different than the fellow selling his milk and all that? Well, big difference. Vatanya, here comes Akasha. How could we allow it? Doesn't the Braisa say kach v'kach asa when he promised him a certain amount of milk, which he doesn't have today, and he's giving it to him at a discount because of the advance payment, etc.? We say it's asa. That's also a naturally developing type of thing. Right? Milk just comes naturally. Well, big difference. Hasam lav minei karabu. The extra 25 gallons of milk that he doesn't have today. Lav minei karabu. It's not developing out of the first 75 gallons that he has today. Meaning 75 doesn't create 25. It's a separate batch of milk, right? The 25 comes there independent of the 75. In fact, if you take the first 75 out of the animal, that's followed by 25. Meaning 25 is not dependent on the 75. It's not growing out of the 75. So when I'm giving you an extra 25, I'm giving you extra 25. As opposed to the pumpkins, the smaller pumpkins are in themselves developing into larger ones. And what's the raya? What's the proof? Very simple. The chishakli. In fact, when you take, if you would pick the small pumpkins, that's it. Show's over. It's not going to be replaced by another one. In other words, the mini pumpkins that I've sold you today for X amount become like yours. And then when they develop into large, supersized pumpkins, it's considered your gain. You, as the customer, your gain. Rashi says, it's yours. That grew and developed and prospered. It's not my ribbis to you. Okay, bottom line. If a person receives an advance payment for some produce and offers it at a discount. So if he's not offering a very specific amount, he just says, look, you know, whatever I pick today is yours. So the customer is taking a risk, just as the seller is taking a risk, and that's not ribbis. So even if he ended up with more than his money is worth, that's his gain. But if it's something that he doesn't really have now, doesn't have it on hand, his goats are only going to produce X amount of milk, and he's promising more. And that's all because he's getting that advance payment. That's not okay. Now, when it comes to pumpkins, if he offers him super-sized pumpkins and he has it in stock, that's fine. That's a done deal. It's a sale. You know, that's fine. It's a complete sale. But if he doesn't really have it yet, he has them at mini size, and they're going to grow into big ones, so we have a difference of opinion. Whether it's considered usur or no, perhaps it is considered mutta because it's the customer's mini pumpkins that he purchased today that are developing into big ones. Amar Abayi, shari initially le'meimel le'chaver. He comes to new halach. Shimon can tell Reuven, look, he'lechar bo zuzi, achavisa dechamra. Here, take four zuzi, and sell me a barrel of wine. But we're not done. I still want you to carry some responsibility for the, you know, well-being of this barrel. Itak for b'shusach. If it goes sour, you're responsible. I yakra, aizila b'shusi. But I take care of the financials. Right? You take care of the material side of things. Make sure it doesn't sour. If it does, it's your loss, but if it goes up in price or it loses value, I'm responsible. Is that fair? How could you allow this? This is a form of ribbis. What's the connection between this and ribbis? Because high karav l'schar, the customer, is closer to gain than to loss. V'rochek l'hefsiru. Typically, you buy something, it's yours. For better or for worse, right? Here, he's sort of trying to get the best of both worlds. I want to buy it, but I want you, the seller, to still look after it. And if it goes sour, you're responsible. So it's not really a true mecher. The money is considered like a loan. And in fact, if you know the wine increases in price and I, the customer, gain because of that, I'm like getting a fee for lending you money. Right? The fact that I'm not taking responsibility for the souring of the wine, the spoilage of the wine, indicates not really a sale. Omar Lay says no. Fact is, I am assuming another aspect of ownership. Remember, I took upon myself gain or loss of value. Oh, kivin the mekabel zula. Since I'm accepting the zula, if it goes down in price, I am going to absorb that loss. So there's an aspect of risk on my end as well. It's not all gain. Karav leze ulezehu. There's an aspect of gain, aspect of loss. So that's considered a proper deal. It's considered derech mekechu memkar. And even if ultimately I gain on the deal, we don't look at it like a loan. It was a sale with strings attached. Says the Mishnah, Hamavas Chaverit. If Reuben lends Shimon money, Lo Yodor b'chatzer achinam, Reuben should not be residing in Shimon's property rent free. V'lo yiskor menu b'pachis, nor should he rent at a discount. V'pneshu ribis, that's another form of ribis. It's a fee for the money loaned. Amar Rav Yosef bar Menuhin Amar Rav Nachman. Here comes the chiddush. Although we all know, we discussed it back in Bava Kama, that Hador b'chatzer chaverus lemitaitu. If Reuben resided, he made use of Shimon's property without permission. So in some cases, Eino yitzorech lahalos esachar. He doesn't have to pay the rent. And Rashi brings that we're speaking where the property was not really intended for rent, right? The owner was not intending to rent it out, so he didn't really lose anything on that. So he doesn't have to pay the rent. So although that's true, but here, if he lent him money, if they have some sort of relationship, he lent him money, that changes the whole equation. Hilvo, if Reuben lent money to Shimon, v'dar b'chatzera, now he resided in that property, sorech la'alv v'soch, he has to pay for it. Otherwise, you're running into ribbis. Says the one, Mike Mashman, what's the point of mentioning this? We have a Mishnah, Tanina, Ma'avas Chaveri, Lo Yodah B'chatzer Rechinam. Just learned, right? You lent it, you can't live there. V'lo Yisker, Menu B'pachas, nor can you rent at a discount. V'pnei Shur Ribis. So what's the Chiddush of Rav Yosef, right? Says the Gemara, even Masnis Navamina, if only for the Mishnah, I would say, Hani Bili, that only applies where we're speaking B'chatzer Dekayim Al-Agru. That Shimon's property is slated for rent. It's a rental property. So, yeah, he's losing by having this tenant live there rent-free. V'gavad asad l'megar. Lavad l'megar. And likewise, Reuben is a fellow who's looking for a rental. So on both ends, there is a, you know, it makes sense that you should be paying. Aval chatzel l'kaim ala. So there, we say if you live rent-free, it's ribbis. He's expecting rent. You're expecting to pay rent, and you're not paying rent. It's ribbis. But avalchatzel lekayim la'agru, the gaver level the mega. But let's say both factors are not there. The chatzer is not meant as a rental. You're not interested in renting. You have plenty of properties, so perhaps that's not really considered a gain on your end. You're not really gaining that rent. Amaloy, so perhaps there's no issue, and there's no issue of ribbis. Kamashma, the point is, yep. That the fact is, you're living there, you're enjoying yourself, it looks like ribbis, says Rashi. The mechsayek ribbis, it appears like ribbis. Ikad amri. There was another slightly different version of this same halacha. So version number one tells us that if Reuben happened to lend Shimon money, he should not be taking advantage of his vacant properties, etc. Ikad amri, amrav yosef, bramin yumi, amrav nachman. Ava bisha amru, although we say in Bava Kama that hador b'chatzah chaver shlami daiter, although in some cases you don't have to offer rent to the owner, Right? By the way, it's not something that you're meant to do. Once it's done, you're not chayv to pay for it. Okay? But in any case, that's in terms of, you know, halachis of chayshin mishpat. But when it comes to a ribis issue, suppose Reuven had a deal with Shimon, the property owner. Halveni, Shimon asked Reuven, look, lend me that million, and I'll let you live in my backyard, my property, free of charge. Sarech l'halach is sachar. So although in chayshin mishpat, we don't obligate, but here, because it's within a, you know, loan arrangement, Reuven can't. He can't live in, reside in that property without paying rent. Because, as we said, it looks like ribis. Even though it's not meant for renting, etc., but it looks like ribis. So we have version number one. Nachman tells us that if you loan money, you shouldn't be taking advantage of this allowance of you know, rent-free properties. And version number two, there's a slightly different situation where Shimon actually offered it as part of the deal. Lend me money, and I'll allow you to live rent-free. So that's not allowed. Manda Amar Hilvahu. So according to the first version, that a lender who lent money should not be, you know, taking advantage of this exemption. Koskin Alvania, certainly if this was stipulated initially at the time of the loan, lend me money and as part of the package you'll live rent-free. That's certainly a problem. Umanda Malvani, but according to the second version, that the issue applies where it was initially stated as part of the arrangement, aval hilvoloi, but you can very much say that, this version will hold that no, if he already lent him the money, it was never stipulated, he lent him the money, cold, and then he turned around a day later and decided to take advantage of that vacant property. Loi, there's no concern there. And again, we're speaking that it's a property not meant for, wasn't intended for rental, right? So there's no issue there. My time, you know why? Since initially the loan was not arranged with this in mind, wasn't really stipulated as part of the deal, so it doesn't appear like Rib is less than ball. We have no concern. Continues the one. Rabbi Yosef bar Chama. What did he do? Talk if he would force, he would compel. Avdi Dinshi, he would take slaves. Eved Kanani, belonging to people that owed him money, it forced him to work for him. Talk if Abdi Da Inshi, the Masak Buzuzi, who he had a monetary claim on, basically people owed him money, he would grab their slaves, right? V'avid Bu'avid, and work with them. This was a way, you know, sort of to pressure them to the owners to pay off their debts. Amali Rava Bray. So Rava, his son, asked him, how could you do this? You're benefiting. It's ribis. My time of it, Marhochi. Amalei, he says, I'm not Rav Nachman, really. I hold like Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, Abdo. And by the way, he would feed them. I mean, he would grab them and make them work for him, and he would feed them, you know, their daily fare. So it's allowed, because Rav Nachman says, Dom Rav Nachman, Abdo, you should know, an Eved Kanani is a lazy good for nothing. Nohaim, the bread crease of his stomach, basically, he's not worth his meal. Loi Shavi. So I'm actually doing the owner a favor by feeding him. Amar Leis, so he says, Emud Amar Rav Nachman. You know what Rav Nachman was referring to? Keep going, Dari Avdi. He's referring to a lazy slave, like his own slave called Dari. The Merakad Bey Kubi, he would dance in the bars. So he wasn't very productive. Avdi Achrinimi Amar, but an ordinary slave, a good, productive, efficient slave. How could you compare the two things? Amar Leis, he says, Ano, Kihod, Rav Daniel Bar of Katina. Amar Rav Svirli. I hold like Rav. The Amar says, I take if Avdi Shachaveir of Asim Amlach Potter. Person. Grabs somebody else's slave at a time where the owner's not using him, and he decides to put him to work. That's okay. Why? You know why? It's pater de nichale de lo nistri adi, because the owner is actually pleased with the fact that you're putting him to work, so that he doesn't get, you know, lazy and you know, lethargic. Lo nistri adi. So actually, I'm not really, you know, taking much from the owner. Amar Lacy says, "Yeah, that's all good and well when, you know, you hadn't lent the person money. But Mar, you kiva the masak b'zuzi, since, you know, you have a claim, a monetary claim. You lent them money. It doesn't look good. Merci karibis. It looks like you're benefiting. You're getting, you know, that gain and benefit. You're profiting off the loan. Domar of Nachman, right? Like we learned a minute ago, Domar of Yosef regarding the rent, right? Domar of Yosef, I mean, you remember Nachman. Abba Bisho Amra, Adar B'chazak Haver Shalom, Yedai Dein Tzorch Lalei Sach. All those true. In some cases, you don't have to pay for a rental. But when you lend a fellow money, keep our arm's length away and avoid any appearance of dishonesty. Hilvo B'dar B'chatzer, if he lent him money and then he decided to use a chatzer tzorech, he has to go and pay for that rent because it looks there's an appearance of impropriety. Amalei, he says, you're right. Hadri B, I will not do this anymore. I certainly accept your objection, and I will cease from doing this any longer. Okay, so we learned about. We started with a fellow who found himself with some extra change. Well, depends whether we consider it intentional or an error. We have the story with the pumpkins and the fellow who's selling his crop. A fellow who bought a barrel of wine. He was able to arrange an arrangement to his benefit to avoid ribbis. And we learned about avoiding any appearance of ribbis in terms of free rentals or free usage of avadim. All the best to you, Hatzlacha Rabbah.